Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, friends, welcome to episode 487 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am back from spring break, literally recording this the day before the show drops. If you're watching on YouTube, you can tell it's obviously St. Patrick's Day, as I am in my festive green tuxedo top and the My 1-2-3 Cents sports coat. But I did want to get an episode out and didn't have time to really record with anyone. Chad and I had been on a little bit of a streak of podcasts. We are going to get together this upcoming week, though, and record next week's content. And it will be WrestleMania themed, doing WrestleMania all the way through WrestleMania. I'm doing the 40 WrestleMania fun facts, random WrestleMania fun facts on my personal TikTok, as well as on the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel. So check those out. Been doing one every day. It's been fun kind of doing a little bit of research. Some of them are coming from memory. Some of them, Chad was watching a few old WrestleManias and had sent me some things that he had thought about. So if you happen to have a WrestleMania, random WrestleMania fun fact that you want me to do a little research on and throw out there, I'd be more than happy to add it to the collection. The one I did over the weekend on Saturday was about WrestleMania gaps, like the gap in between a WrestleMania appearance, who had the longest one. And I guess not surprisingly, but it was a little surprising after I saw it and read it. I thought it was naturally going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, who you see if you're watching behind me on the shelf. I thought it was him because his last WrestleMania match, and I'm talking matches, not appearances, because a lot of these superstars had appearances at WrestleMania, just not in a wrestling capacity. And with Austin, what we thought was his last WrestleMania, we didn't know it at the time, was wrestling at WrestleMania 19 in 2003. Well, fast forward to 2022, and Stone Cold returns to the ring at WrestleMania 38, which would have been a 19-year gap, and I thought that would be the biggest. Definitely my favorite, my most favorite return, gap-wise, if we're looking at it from that perspective. I thought it was cool, and I did a whole episode. I think Chad may have joined me for this one after the Austin WrestleMania, of nostalgia and getting that feeling back of how times were back in the Attitude Era. You know, he wrestled Kevin Owens. You could argue, should he have put Owens over? Was this a one-off? It was a night one of WrestleMania. It was a great way to close the show. It was a feel-good moment. The next night, you know, Vince McMahon comes out and has a match, technically, with Pat McAfee. And I think that might be another one of those long gaps, because I think, and I'm just going off of memory, I didn't research all of this, I think Vince McMahon's last wrestling match at a WrestleMania was at WrestleMania 22 in 2006, when he wrestled Shawn Michaels, which Chad and I were at that one. That was our first WrestleMania, actually. So the gap from 2006 to 2022 was 16 years. So another long gap, even though the match that McMahon had was, you know, short and sweet. But I think that one would fall into probably the top five. And Sportster actually did an article in 2022 before the Austin return. So that's not on this list, but I did look at their list, and there were a couple of minor mistakes in it. And I have noted those if I'm going to include any in this podcast. But, you know, the longest gap between WrestleManias was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, which his last WrestleMania match was at WrestleMania 4. He was in the tournament for the new heavyweight champion. Got eliminated in round one against Greg the Hammer Valentine, which to me was a big upset as a 15-year-old watching that. I didn't expect him, obviously, to win, but we know, you know, kind of what was going on behind the scenes, and he was actually not going to be around much longer in WWE. I think he left, actually, that may have been his last WWE match in that run before he returned to WCW and beat Ric Flair that following year for the NWA or WCW. I can't remember if they were officially NWA still at that point or not, but he won the big gold belt. Anyway, he then got injured in 1994. He came back to the WWF in 91, but was gone. He didn't stick around very long, was gone. He wrestled at SummerSlam 91 and then was gone before Survivor Series that year. So we never saw him wrestle at another WrestleMania until, and shockingly, until 2009 at WrestleMania 25. You know, he had been injured while wrestling in WCW, kind of retired. I guess I don't know that they made an official retirement announcement, but was seemingly done in 94. 94 and 95. I think it was 94. And so he had been done off the shelf for 15 plus years. So I was shocked and stoked to see him come back because we were also at that WrestleMania. That was the year that Ricky Steamboat teamed up with Rowdy Roddy Piper, who was also making a return after not wrestling since WrestleMania 12, and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, who also had not wrestled at a WrestleMania since WrestleMania 7. So Snuka had a, 18-year hiatus from WrestleMania 7 to WrestleMania 25, and I'm doing math, which is not a good thing, but I think that was, you know, another one of those that was in the top five of those gaps. And Piper, I think it was, 12 to 25 is 13 years. So all three of these guys had not wrestled at a WrestleMania. They wrestled Chris Jericho, of course, in that handicap match. Mickey Rourke was in their corner, and Jericho eliminated all three, which then led to a great match between Jericho and Steamboat at the next month's pay-per-view. I don't remember what it was called, but, you know, so we got to see Steamboat come back. And then even this past, in 2022, Ric Flair had his last match in Nashville. And Steamboat followed up in November of that year of 22 and had what, I don't know if they billed it as his last match, but he got back in there and was in that six-man tag team match with FTR. And I think Brock Anderson and Nick Aldis and, was it Brian Pillman Jr.? I don't remember the details of it, but we know that Steamboat came back and wrestled even again after that alleged last run in 2009 with WWE. So that was an impressive to see him come back and be a part of that and still perform at such a high level. And it is, you know, when our favorites as kids come back and wrestle, and hopefully we won't rehash this particular episode, but I'm sure Chad and I will have a conversation at some point too about the comebacks. And, you know, Steve Austin was in phenomenal shape at 57 years old, I believe he was, when he wrestled that WrestleMania 2 years ago. And he's been hitting the gym again, and they've been showing workout videos. There was speculation that he was going to be somehow involved with this Bloodline story with The Rock. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if and when Steve Austin comes back, it will be the focus will be around him, and it won't be a part of a bigger story. You know, the Bloodline storyline has consumed so much for the last couple of years. I don't think Austin will be brought in to be a bit player in that. But I do think that he's got another one in him, and I would be all for seeing that happen as well, because we didn't know. You know, we talked a little bit about this in the last match episode that we did a few weeks ago. You know, when you don't know it's someone's last match, Does it matter though? You know, Kevin Nash brought up some interesting points in his podcast. You know, his last match came and went, and it wasn't a big hoopla. He didn't, you know, care about it. It wasn't as significant to him. But I think we as fans, sometimes we want that closure. We want that ability to say goodbye, even though it is wrestling, and wrestling retirements typically don't last. Even Shawn Michaels, who I thought would stay retired in 2010, came back and did that ill-fated Brothers of Destruction versus DX match in Saudi Arabia a few years ago. So I guess we never say never, and we could seemingly see Stone Cold back at a WrestleMania. I would be for it. You know, The Rock is going to be wrestling at his first WrestleMania since, what was it, 2016, when he beat Eric Rowan in 3 seconds at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. So it'll be, you know, a comeback of sorts for The Rock at this year's WrestleMania 40, an 8-year hiatus. If you count the Eric Rowan match, otherwise you go back to 2013 when he dropped the title back to John Cena at the WrestleMania in New Jersey. So there is a precedent for it. There has been some history of it, you know, outside of the legends that we grew up, we being us Gen Xers who grew up in the 80s era of WWE and watched, you know, Hulk Hogan went from 1993 at WrestleMania 9, tag team match with Brutus Beefcake against IRS. We saw him later in the main event beat Yokozuna. That was his last WrestleMania until he made the comeback at, what was it, WrestleMania 17 or 18. It was at the 2002 WrestleMania. I start losing track of the numbers and the years because they don't line up and it's not as easy. Once we get out of that golden era of WrestleManias, it's hard to keep up with the years. But I think that was at WrestleMania 18 that Hogan came back. So that was a 9-year hiatus. Bret Hart had a long gap, you know, wrestling at WrestleMania 13 and then coming back at WrestleMania 26. That was a 13-year hiatus that he had, wrestling Austin at 13 and then Vince McMahon in that, you know, basically a street fight at WrestleMania 26 in Phoenix. Chad and I were at that one as well. It was cool, you know, because some of those guys we didn't get to see in their prime, maybe wrestle, or we weren't going to WrestleManias when WrestleMania was in its heyday. You know, obviously we never got to see Hulk Hogan wrestle at a WrestleMania, but we did get to see Roddy Piper wrestle at a WrestleMania. Maybe didn't get to see Stone Cold wrestle at a WrestleMania. I wish if Austin would have waited a year and came back at 39 last year in Hollywood, that we were at that one, because, you know, we had a big gap in between our WrestleManias. We went from 32 to 39 before we had been to one. And I know I said last year 39 was going to be it, but, you know, never say never. Talk of maybe doing WrestleMania in Las Vegas, that would be kind of fun. So, again, haven't ruled out making a return and you know, whoever returns and gets back in the ring and wrestles again. I could see The Undertaker making a WrestleMania return down the road. I know he kind of jokingly talked about Sting retiring and whatnot. I don't think Sting's going to wrestle again, though. I do think that, you know, he will stay retired unless WWE just drives a truckload of money. But again, as Chad and I talked about, at this point, at, you know, Undertaker, if he's not 60, he's near 60. The Stinger is in his 60s. I don't know that that match would be what we fans would hope that it would have been, say, in 2003, 2002, when the merger was complete and it could have been a possibility, but Sting opted to go to TNA instead. So, you know, the gaps, will we, you know, 10 years from now, there's wrestlers are staying active longer into their careers. You know, Randy Orton is in his 40s. AJ Styles is in his mid to late 40s. John Cena is in his late 40s. So will we see, you know, these gaps where guys unless they stop now, you know, 10 years from now, you know, John Cena will be pushing 60. Will we see the superstars of today who, and I would argue, are in better condition? And maybe part of that is because of COVID happening, and we see less of the rigorous schedule. You know, it's not like it was back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, where they were on the road 300 days or 250 days a year and wrestling, and it took a much bigger toll on their bodies and their health and their well-being. And, you know, by late 30s, early 40s, they became a shell of their former selves, and they weren't able to get in there and compete, but they are staying healthier now, and they are able to make it last. So, you know, will we see Randy Orton in his 60s make a comeback at WrestleMania? Or, you know, will we see guys like The Undertaker, who wrestled for quite a long time too, you know, having these one-off comeback matches of sorts? And does that detract or take away from? And I don't think it does. I think WrestleMania is that showcase. It is that spectacle. You know, I do get conflicted, because it's like you take away from the everyday roster that's there week in and week out, 52 weeks on Raw or SmackDown or wherever they're contributing, and then someone comes in and takes that match, that potential match away. WWE has done a good job of trying to squeeze everyone, especially now that we have two nights of WrestleMania. And yeah, there are going to be people left off, and it becomes that trophy. Everyone gets a trophy mentality. Or do you put the best of the best out there? You know, I would argue that the very first WrestleMania, now I'm kind of going down a whole other rabbit hole, but that first WrestleMania had guys like Matt Bourne, who also had a big gap in between his WrestleMania appearances, appeared at WrestleMania. And then 8 years later came to WrestleMania 9 as Doink the Clown. Different character, different gimmick. And to me, was the highlight of WrestleMania 9. That was my favorite match, the Crush Doink match. But that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother argument or debate or whatever we want to call it. But I think that it was, Doink the Clown, or I'm sorry, Matt Bourne and the Executioner and, ST Jones, all a part of the very first WrestleMania. But you had guys like Rocky Johnson, like Tony Atlas, the British Bulldogs, you know, the guys that were in the company, George the Animal Steel, the Magnificent Morocco, were all in the WWF at WrestleMania, the very first WrestleMania, but they weren't a part of the card, or they weren't a part of the show. WrestleMania 3, Demolition, they were in that battle royal that Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant had their confrontation on that Saturday night's main event a couple weeks before WrestleMania 3, but they were not on the card at WrestleMania 3. Kamal, you know, so yeah, there's interesting mentality and mindset. And again, I kind of went down a different rabbit hole on having too many people on a WrestleMania show versus, you know, who should be, you know, it's kind of like the Hall of Fame. It becomes a subjective thing. The original intent was to talk about the gaps and the returns. And to me, Austin, you know, is awesome. Edge was another great one, because we, again, were at WrestleMania 27, I think it was. 27. It was 2011 in Atlanta, and that was Edge's last, you know, he defended the title against Alberto Del Rio, and then I think it was that next night came out and said, you know, his neck is injured and he's not going to be able to, and gave up the belt. And it was awesome seeing him come back at the Royal Rumble in 2020. That may be my favorite Royal Rumble comeback story. And then he wrestles again that next year, or at WrestleMania 20. It would have been WrestleMania 36, I think. That was the COVID mania. So the comeback, or, you know, the buildup and the hype was, and I think that was a cinematic match with Randy Orton. But, you know, Edge, again, had a great a gap there that he came back and did things that we didn't think we were going to see from him because of that neck injury. So we're grateful and happy and excited to see that happen. And I'm just going to take a quick look here back at that list from Sportster. Goldberg had a 13-year gap. Kurt Angle went a long time. He wrestled at WrestleMania 22 in 2006. Chad and I were at that one. He lost the championship to Rey Mysterio in that three-way with Randy Orton. He came back and wrestled again in that mixed tag with Ronda Rousey and against Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. That was a 12-year gap, so that would have been 22 to 34. I can math sometimes. So Terry Funk had a big gap. You know, he wrestled at WrestleMania 2 with his brother Dory Funk Jr. In a tag team match. He came back in 1998 at WrestleMania 14 to team up with Cactus Jack. And they actually won the belts in that dumpster match against DX. So he had a big gap. Flair had a 10-year gap in his WrestleMania appearances. So, yeah, great comebacks, great returns. Flair wrestled, like I said, at WrestleMania 8 in 1992, came back in late 2001 to wrestle at WrestleMania 18. Is that right? Yeah, WrestleMania 18. Against The Undertaker. What a great comeback that was, too. And actually, his career comes to in-ring career, at least at the time, came to an end at that WrestleMania 24 in 2008. But there have been some great comebacks. And I want to hear yours. Let me know. Weigh in the comment section, either on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Leave a review. Let me know what you think of my 123 cents, the brand, what we're doing. Again, I invite you and I encourage you to make a request to join the My 123 cents Facebook group. We are doing enhancement talent madness. It's going to be we'll throw up a couple of pictures of enhancement talent. You vote. The one that gets the most votes first will go on to the next round. Working on developing that. It's going to start on Tuesday, the same day that March Madness begins. So, again, check out the My 123 Cents regular page as well as the Facebook group, also on Instagram. So look forward to hearing from more folks in the coming weeks as we continue this road to WrestleMania. Friends, thank you so much for listening and or watching to this week's episode. Have a great week and stay safe.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.